Ladies and gentlemen, the sound you hear is a buzzsaw ripping through a painting of George Washington chopping down cherry trees. It's time for Professor Buzzkill, busting myths and taking names.
Hello there, Buzzkillers. It's your favorite professor here, busting myths, taking names, and ruining your day since 1963. I want to talk about the Olympics this week. The Olympics have always been controversial. Rio's infrastructure problems and the Zika virus in 2016, political boycotts of Los Angeles in 1984, and before that, Moscow in 1980, apartheid South Africa being banned from participation from 1964 to 1992, and perhaps the most famous of all, the 1936 Berlin Games, held under Hitler's Nazi government and chock full of drama and controversy. We're going to look at a famous myth from those games, Hitler's snub of Jesse Owens and other African-American Olympic champions. But we're going to use this myth as a way to talk about some of the broader historical issues and controversies surrounding those summer games in Berlin 80 years ago. It's an upsetting subject, partly because it means I have to talk about vile and inhumane Nazi ideology, but also because the full story reveals a lot about bigotry and discrimination in the United States in the 20th century. But maybe it'll help us all think about the ways we treat people we think of as different. In 1931, the International Olympic Committee granted the upcoming 1936 Summer Olympic Games to Berlin. Hitler wouldn't come to power until January 1933, so it's not as if the IOC knowingly granted Nazi Germany the Games, but controversy wasn't long in coming. In April 1933, the official Nazi Party newspaper called for excluding Jews and blacks from participation in the Games, and other nations threatened to boycott Berlin in reaction to this. So Hitler backed off and quashed plans to have a racially pure Olympics. After the IOC sort of slapped them down, there was talk in the Führer's cabinet of canceling the Games, but he was eventually convinced by Nazi propagandists that if they presented it in the right ways, the Berlin Games could become a showcase for Hitler's ideals, for German modernization, and for Nazi visions of the future, frankly. The planning and construction of the Olympic infrastructure in Berlin was impressive. They built a 100,000-seat stadium, the largest in the world at the time, six new gymnasiums, a fancy Olympic village, and lots of other facilities. These were the first games to be televised. The now famous torch relay that we see and celebrate every Olympics, all the way from Greece, was invented for these games. And the games were elaborately and artistically filmed by Leni Riefenstahl, the famous German auteur. The stage, as I said, was therefore set for a very dramatic international sporting event. Enter Jesse Owens, the fabulous African-American sprinter and long jumper from Ohio State. The American track and field team was very impressive and contained a number of other stars, and they were all expected to do very well at the games, and they did. Owens was the real star. If you watch any number of newsreel clips from the time, many of which have been incorporated into history documentaries, you see Jesse Owens running the 100-meter dash and winning. The films almost invariably then cut to Hitler storming out of the stadium, presumably in reaction to someone, that is Owens, from an animalistic race, which is the way Nazis thought about African-Americans and people from Africa in general, defeating actual humans, meaning German athletes. These documentary scripts and voiceovers over newsreels from the period and from later, even up to now, then talk about Hitler snubbing Owens and other non-German victors at the medal ceremonies after each contest. Often, these documentaries were edited so they showed Owens crossing the finish line in the 100-meter dash and then show Hitler storming out of the stands in disgust, as if one followed the other. The problem is this didn't happen. Here's what did happen. Hitler attended the first day of athletic competition in the glorious new stadium, fitting with his desire to privilege German athletic prowess and superiority. Hitler only congratulated German medal winners on that first day. Olympic officials told him later in the day, middle of the day, that he couldn't discriminate against medal winners from other countries. He must congratulate winners from all nations, they said, in keeping with the Olympic spirit and Olympic ideals. The Führer didn't like this. He refused to congratulate any medal winners at all from then on. Now, either in a fit of pique over the whole IOC coming up to him and slapping him down, or because it looked like it was about to rain. There are reasonable historical accounts which differ on this point. Hitler left the stadium well before Jesse Owens ran his first race. But according to Owens himself, this is a quote, "Before he left, he being Hitler, I was on my way to a broadcast and passed near his box. He waved at me and I waved back. I think it was in bad taste to criticize the man of the hour in another country," unquote. That's a quote from press reports after Owens got home in 1936. Now, Owens, as you know, went on to win 4 gold medals at the 1936 Olympics. He won the 100 meters, the 200 meters, got a gold medal in the 4x100 meter relay, and won the long jump. It was an absolute triumph. Any of you who've seen the films or videos of Owens' performances, or many of his other performances in any sort of track and field event, know that he normally defeated his fellow runners easily, sometimes by very impressive distances. Hitler didn't publicly congratulate him on any of these triumphs because, as we've stated, Hitler didn't attend any events after the first half day. And after the IOC told him not to discriminate against non-German medal winners, he didn't congratulate anyone. Here's where things get complicated. There are at least 2 reputable sources that state that Hitler did indeed congratulate Owens, and that Owens had a picture of the two shaking hands after the 100-meter dash, but before the Führer left the stadium. German journalist Siegfried Mischner said that he met Jesse Owens during the 1960s, later, obviously, and that Owens showed him a photograph of the handshake with Hitler. Mischner then said he tried to get his editors interested in the story, but the political climate in Germany in the 1960s was such that any photograph or news story that might have added complexity to the general perception of Hitler as an inveterate racist, any story like that was spiked. The second source is famous British test pilot Eric Brown, who, when he was 17, was taken by his father to see the Berlin Olympics. He told the BBC in 1970, again much, much later, that he saw Hitler shake hands with Owens behind the honor stand, behind the medal stand, out of public view. Now, since Brown went on to be a highly decorated and respected Royal Navy pilot, many people have taken this as confirmation from an honest source, Eric Brown being an honest source, confirmation of Siegfried Mischner's story about Owens and the photograph with Hitler. Further, there was a report in the Baltimore Sun that said, the report from 1936 that said that Hitler gave Owens a framed photograph of himself. It's important to stress this right here. Buzzkill Institute researchers do not find these somewhat indirect pieces of evidence as convincing enough to verify the handshake account. But these pieces of evidence certainly make the overall story less cut and dry than is usually portrayed. Owens repeatedly tried to convince people back in the United States that the Hitler snub never took place, but the newsreels and other reports that had already planted the fact in people's mind, they took hold. Given that Hitler was almost universally considered evil, it was hard for even Owens himself to correct the myth. He stated almost immediately after he got back, in at least one speech after he returned, Owens said, "Hitler did not snub me. It was our president, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who snubbed me. The president didn't even send me a telegram." This brings me to one of the most troubling aspects of this story, and one that's often overlooked. The way Jesse Owens was treated after the Olympics, back in his own country, the one he'd represented so brilliantly. A ticker tape parade was held for him in Manhattan in his honor. But when he went to his hotel that evening, he had to enter through a side door and ride up to his room in a freight elevator. The hotel didn't allow African Americans to use the front door or the regular guest elevators. This, unfortunately, was the status quo for African Americans in the United States at that time. That would have been bad enough, but when compared to the way he'd been treated on a daily basis in Germany, it's especially shameful. Now, I say daily basis for a reason, buzzkillers. At the high level, at the high-ranking Nazi level, Hitler, Himmler, and Speer tried to claim that athletes of African descent were closer to animals than white athletes, and they had an unfair advantage in an open Olympic game. Civilized white athletes shouldn't have to compete. against animals. This was undeniably reprehensible. The Nazi regime, as we all know, was viciously racist, and we also all know the depravity and the evil of the Holocaust. So I want to stress to all of you that we are in no way comparing the morality of Hitler's Germany with the morality of the United States, even during the height of the Jim Crow era in the United States, with all its lynchings and all its discrimination. But while in Germany in 1936, Owen stayed in the same hotels as white athletes, he lived in the Olympic Village under no restrictions, and dined in the same restaurants as his white teammates. Indeed, he was often cheered and praised while traveling between the Olympic Village and the Olympic Stadium. Other American athletes reported that Owens was greeted by throngs of German fans chanting his name and sometimes even snipping off pieces of his clothing with scissors. The myth of the Hitler snub aside, it's very clear from the way Owens was treated on a general daily basis during his stay in Germany that there were enough Germans who did not believe fully in Nazi ideology. In 1936, Owens and his black teammates did not suffer the daily indignities that he and all African Americans endured in the United States at that time. There are two great books about this episode in history on the Buzzkill bookshelf. The first is David Clay Large's Nazi Games, the Olympics of 1936. And the second is a broader history of the Olympic Games by David Goldblatt, The Games, A Global History of the Olympics. Read them, and you'll see how complicated and how controversial the Olympics always are. Talk to you next week.